thinking about, and it's really a wonderful story. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, and today I want to talk with you about wise men. Not foolish men, but what? Wise men, and really the importance of really seeking Him. And this morning I want us to open up to the Gospel of Matthew, and I want to read the story of the wise men, how they came seeking a Savior. I love the Gospel of Matthew because each Gospel writer presents Jesus in a unique way. Did you all know that? They're all, what, very different, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the Gospel writers are different. And the reason is because they have a perspective on who Jesus is, and they present Him in a certain way. Now, Matthew, the thing about Matthew is when he speaks about Jesus, he's going to speak about Jesus as a king. Okay, so he's going to be different. No one else in the Bible does this, okay? Matthew comes and really wants to recognize Jesus as a king. And he starts out that way. And in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, he's going to establish that Jesus comes from a kingly lineage. Okay, he wants to be sure that everybody knows this. And he's going to be sure that when he mentions all of his family, he's going to be clear, especially in Matthew 1:1. He's going to say that the book of the genealogy of who? Not you, but the genealogy of Jesus. And the first phrase he says is what? Who is he? Read your Bible, Matthew 1:1. He is what? He's what? He is the what? Son of David. How many of you know that's who he is? Okay, who is Jesus? Son of David. And why did he put in Son of David? Because David came from a kingly background. Amen? And so Matthew wants to be very clear that whoever reads this gospel knows that he is a king. Amen? He comes from a lineage of a king. He has the right to be a king, and he has the power to be a king. Awesome. And then when you hit chapter 2, now he's going to establish and emphasize that Jesus is a king in terms of people coming and honoring him and worshiping him. And you all know who that's going to be, right? Who's that? That's the Magi. Amen. He's going to establish that these Magi come. And they're going to come and they're going to be yearning. They're going to be looking for a Savior. Amen. And when they find Jesus, they actually find their king. So let's open and let's read as we understand the emphasis of the Gospel of Matthew. Let's read Matthew chapter 2, and let's read from verses 1, and let's go all the way down. Let's go down through 8. You all have this? Verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked what? Where is the one who has been born, what? King. Okay, we want to be sure he's a king. King of the Jews. We saw what? His star. Underline his star. They saw it where? In the east. And we have come, what was their purpose? Come to worship him. Now when King Herod heard this, he's going to be very upset. He's going to be disturbed. And not only is he going to be disturbed, all of Jerusalem is going to get disturbed. When he called together all the people, interesting group of people he calls. He calls the chief priests, he calls the teachers of the law, and he wants to know what? Same thing. Where the Christ is to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophets had written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Now then Herod called the Magi secretly, found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go Make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may, too, may go and worship him. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. What a wicked guy he was. Amen. And so this morning I want to look at why we would call these people the Magi, such a wonderful group of people. And the first thing I want to say is that the Magi, how many know they were seeking a king? Amen? The Bible tells us in verse 2, here is the one, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? So when the Magi came, they're looking for a king. They're seeking a king. Now they come from, the Magi are really an interesting group of people. I don't know if you know very much about them. But the Medes, they actually came from a tribe known as the Medes. And the Medes were a large group of people, and they had various tribes, and one of the tribes actually was known as the Magi tribe. And they basically were the priestly tribe of people. They were a lot like, remember, who were the priestly tribe in Israel? They were called the what? They were the Levites, okay? So in the Medes culture, who's the priestly group of people? They're called the Magi, okay? So these Magi, they are very influential people. They are people who would be known to have a lot of wisdom. They would be also astrologers, astronomers. They would be looking at stars, and they would be trying to find what really life is all about. And so within the Medes culture, they started to rise up, and they became high-ranking officials within the Medes culture. And actually, by the time Christ was there, no king could take a throne until the Magi had recognized them as a king. Is that awesome? It's awesome. No Magi. The Magi were, so who were they? They were people who would recognize this is a king. And that was their responsibility. And I am sure during their lifetime, they had established many kingdoms by going and saying, okay, this is a king. And they would establish that that is the king. And once that was established, then the kingdom and the government and their control would all be established. But interestingly enough, the Magi were anxiously looking for a king. Historically, they themselves had no king at the birth of Jesus Christ. They were looking for a king, but within their own kingdom, they had no king. Their king at the time had actually been disposed of, and they were looking. Now they want a monarch to rise. And so when they come looking for Jesus, I really believe they had two things in mind. I think they were political. Amen? How many know they had to be political? They were, why? Because they were used to establishing a king politically. This is the king over this nation. But I also want to say, how many of you know they were also spiritual? They came not only to establish politically, but they came searching, I believe, spiritually. And I really believe today, how many know people are doing the same thing today? They search. And really, how many know people are searching for a lot of things today? They're searching. Sometimes people are, you know, if you talk to people, they're all looking for a relationship. Would you not agree? When people search, what are they looking for? A relationship. They figure if they had the right person in their life, life's going to be all good. That's their purpose in life. Let me have this relationship. I mean, some people come looking for power. Yes, power. Other people, I believe, go looking for position. I mean, there are people, they want power, they want position. Some people go looking for possessions. They want to be sure that they have everything that they need in their life. And so that's the truth. And so they search for these things. But the real truth is what? They're on a spiritual journey. Amen? I mean, you're on a spiritual journey. You might say to me, Pastor, I'm looking for power. I need a job. I'm looking for a position. I need certain possessions in my life. And that may be all true. But everybody is on a spiritual journey. Amen? Isn't that awesome? How are you doing on your spiritual journey? I guess is the question for the year. How's your spiritual journey going? Because everyone is on it. But I do believe that how many know when they met Jesus Christ, everything changed. Would you not agree with that? They may have been used to acknowledging a king and establishing governments. But how many know when they met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How many know all of life must have changed that night? They might have had in their mind, this is going to be some earthly king. But when they met Jesus, I believe they met the one who would actually bring them out of darkness. Amen? He had come and he would come as light into the world. And the light would come and the darkness could not overcome it. Amen? I mean, that was amazing that night when they met him. I believe when they met Jesus, I believe they came and they met divine grace. I believe when they met Jesus, they discovered the lover of their souls. I believe when they met Jesus that night, the satisfaction of their soul was met. Amen? That night was an awesome night. I believe that night when they met Jesus Christ, I believe there was forgiveness for every sin they've ever committed. Amen? So important. They were looking for a king, but they were on a spiritual journey. But they were seekers, for sure. But the second thing I like about the Magi is not only were they seeking, but they were wise because they were willing to follow the star. In verse 2, it says what? We saw, and I love this, when they looked at the star, they saw what? What does the Bible say? They saw what? His star. How many know that star was different? I believe that star was different. How many think that star was the same as any other star in the sky? I don't think so. I believe that star was different. The Greek word here for star is actually aster, and it means divine light. I don't think it was a star with normal light. I believe when Christ came as the light of the world. Amen? Remember the angels, when the angels came and they talked to the shepherds? What happened that night? Remember, it was the glory of the Lord shone around them. Remember that? Why? It was the divine presence of God. I actually believe that when they were following his star, I believe that star was a divine presence of really of who God is. Isn't that awesome? But you know, the amazing thing is, as I think about it, as they're following this star, how many know the Magi, as I've been thinking and meditating more on this, I think the Magi were among the early figures in the story of the birth of Christ. And I believe they were early in the fact that they were willing to pay a price. Would you not agree? I believe they were early in that they knew there was a cost to follow Christ. Would you believe that or not? Of course. Why? Because the Magi, in order to follow the star, what did they have to do? They had to leave their homes, right? Yes? They had to leave their families. Did they not? They left probably their children, their mothers and their fathers. They had to leave. And I believe on that journey, I believe they traveled thousands of miles. Thousands of miles to find Christ. I believe that when they got there, they were susceptible to all sorts of dangers on this journey. Would you not agree? See, I really believe that these Magi, they were the early figures of really, what does it take to follow Jesus Christ? Followers of Jesus, how many know it's not easy? Would you agree? It's not easy to follow Jesus Christ. I love what Matthew says in the Gospel of Matthew 16. Matthew says this, if anyone would come after me, right? You only have to do three things. What are they? Deny yourself. Amen. Don't live your life for yourself. You must deny yourself if you're a follower of Christ. See, that's what they did. They denied themselves. They left everything to come after him. Deny yourself. And then what? Number two, what? You have to pick up your cross. How many of you are picking up your cross? You must pick up your cross. And then he says, you must what? Follow me. Wow, I love that. For whoever desires, think about it. For whoever desires to save his life, you got to what? If you desire to save your life, you have to lose it. And whoever loses his life is going to what? Shall gain it. Amen? How many know it's not easy to be a follower of Jesus Christ today? It's not. I believe what Christ calls us to is total commitment. Would you not agree? If you're a follower of Christ, what is Christ calling you to? Total commitment. Not halfway. Amen? Not lukewarm. Amen? And definitely not convenient. Amen? That's not the call of God on your life. The call of God is what? Come and follow Him. Pick up your cross. And what? Deny yourself. That is exactly what these magi did. They were willing to do that. They were committed to doing this. It's awesome. I just love them. Awesome. I was thinking of, when I think of these words, I oftentimes think of Francis Chan. Y'all know who Francis Chan is? How many know Francis Chan? You know Francis Chan? You know Francis Chan? Okay, so some of you know Francis Chan. He was a pastor in, I think it was, where was it, in California? And he had a very successful church there. And it was growing. It was booming, and more people were coming to the Lord. It was getting bigger and bigger, and the people loved him and everything. And one day the Lord said to him, leave your church. I want you to go into the mission field. Can you imagine that? He's doing well. Things are good. And he has to leave his church. He leaves. And where did he go anyway? Did anyone know where he went? Where did he go? And where did he go when he left his church? Where did he go? China? So he leaves. He leaves the United States and he sells what? He sells everything he has. And he tells his wife and his kids, we're moving to China. He said, and we're going to sell everything we have. And we're going to move to this foreign country. And we're going to live there. And we're going to serve God there. How many think that's pretty awesome? How many of you know what it takes to take a stand like that as a man? To bring your family that way. How many know that's a big stand to make as a man? And so he stood there and he made that commitment. And guess what? They all went. How long did they stay? Do you remember how long they stayed? How long did they stay in China? Do you remember how long they were there? A couple years?
It was a few
years. He stayed there for a couple years. And then they came back to the United States. And in listening to him talk, he tells a story that when they came back to the United States, he had a sit-down talk with his kids in the airport. And he says to them something to this effect, like, we're going back to the United States. But I want to be clear with you, we are not living the American dream. Can you imagine telling your kids that? We're not here to live the American dream. It's not about power, possessions, let's get a position. We're not doing that. We're not here to live that way. I want to be clear with you. That's not what we're doing. I wonder, have any of you ever made a decision like that? Where you've come before the Lord and you come before others and you said, you know, I want to really make this statement. How many of you have done that? Like you've stood before your family. You know they're all going a certain way. And you stand and you go, no. We're not living that way. How many of you have done that? Every one of you should do that. Amen? It's not optional for you. Why? If you're a follower, what are you supposed to do? Three things. What?
Deny yourself.
Two, pick up your cross. Three, you got to follow the Lord. I really want to encourage you, if you haven't done that, especially if you're a man, you need to do that with your family. If you're a woman, you need to do that with your family. You need to take a stand for Jesus Christ, regardless of what anyone else says or thinks. Yes or no?
Yes.
How many of you haven't done it? How many of you are willing to do it? How many are willing to stand and take a position that maybe they disagree with? But you know what God's telling you to do, and you say what God tells you to say, and you do it, and you stand on it. And they don't like it, and they don't want to do it, but it doesn't matter to you. Why? You take your position, because you know you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said. You know who did this? I think I love him. That's why I think I named my son what we did. My son's name is what? Joshua. And how many know in Joshua? Open up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. How many know Joshua did the same thing? Joshua was living in a time, and the time was full of idols. People lived for idols. They had a way of living, and they lived the way they wanted to live. And Joshua one day comes to him at the end of his life, and he says this wonderful statement. He says in Joshua chapter 24, he says to the people, y'all have that in Joshua 24, verse 14. He says this to them, here's what I want you to do. Now what? Verse 14, now fear the Lord. I want you to fear God. And serve him how? How should you serve him? You serve him with what? All faithfulness. You don't budge. You know you're going to be faithful to God. You know there's trials. You know there's difficulties. But you say, no, I'm going to serve him with faithfulness. And you're going to throw away what? I love this. You're going to throw away all your gods. Amen. Your forefathers worshiped beyond the river in Egypt. And you're not going to follow them anymore. What are you going to do with all these false gods the culture has to give you? You're not going to build idols. You're going to destroy idols. Amen. You're going to establish the true God in your life. Is that not awesome? I love this because I believe Joshua was a man who took a stand. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, like you're here today, I don't really want to serve God. If it seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself. Make a choice. I mean, the power of choice. You have to choose. Some people believe, well, I don't have to choose, and they become indecisive. No, your indecisiveness, you have chosen. I just want to be lukewarm. You have chosen. I want to procrastinate. I don't want to have an answer. You have chosen. Amen? You have chosen whether you think you have or not. You already have. He said, you do that. Amen? Choose for you when? This day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your forefathers, all the idols in the country, you want to serve them, you want to live for them, go ahead and make it, but make a choice. Live the way you want to live. But I want to tell you something, and I love this, right? But as for me, as for my household, what? We will serve the Lord. How many of you know Joshua had to stand up? How many of you know it wasn't a favorable time? How many of you know it didn't matter who came with him? He says, we're going this way whether you want to go or not. It doesn't matter what anybody in this country does. I and my family, we will what? We will serve the Lord. You may disagree. You may not want to come. Doesn't matter to me. We will serve the Lord. How many of you as men have made that decision for you and your families? I say you need to. And if you haven't, then you probably already have. By not doing it, you've made your decision. Amen? And everybody knows what it is. It's not to follow God. Amen? The Magi were people who were willing to take a stand. Amen? They were willing to throw away the idols. They were not idol makers. They were idol breakers. Would you agree? They weren't there to make idols. They were breaking idols. I say to you, break the idols in your life too. Whatever they are, possession, power, position, people, break the idols that are in your life. Make a decision. What? You will serve the Lord and Him alone. And all God's people said. You know what I think is going on right now in history? My own perspective. You can disagree with me if you like. My own perspective is this. How many of you know it's getting harder and harder in this country to be a Christian? You all agree with that perspective? You do? Okay. Great. How many would agree with, and Christians are getting more and more lukewarm? Would you agree with that? So here we are. We got harder and harder times coming. And we got Christians saying, I want my Christianity to be a Christianity of convenience. I want it to be, let's get what I want to need. Let's have a little bit of God, but let's live the way I want to live. Right? How many know that is a formula for disaster? You understand that, right? There is no way that can work. As a follower of Jesus Christ, what should you do? You take a stand. You make a decision. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If nobody else comes along with us, we will serve the Lord. We will be faithful to God. You don't have to, but I will. Boy, that takes a man of God. Would you not agree? I want to challenge some of you men here. You need to take your stand. And if you say, well, my husband's not taking a stand, then if you're a woman here, you take the stand. You say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will have no false gods in this house. We will have no idols here. We will serve and be faithful to the living God. We will pay the price for that. It'll be okay.
Amen.
All God's people, Marcia, all God's people said.
Amen.
See, the question has to be, who's on the throne of your life? Is that not the issue? And if I were to say to you, who's on the throne of your life? How many of you say, Jesus Christ is on the throne of my life? Very simple, guys. Christ is on the throne of my life. Some of you might be here and say, I'm still on the throne of my own life. You better get off. You're not the King of Kings or the Lord of Lords. Amen? He is. So you serve Him faithfully. You tell people who you're serving. You don't be ashamed of that. Amen? You make that decision. And actually, you speak it. How many of you are good? You speak it, right? How many of you know you can believe it and everything, but how many of you know something happens when you speak it? Imagine going to your kids, hey guys, we're serving the Lord. I'm your dad, we're serving the Lord. You may try to do something else, this family is serving the Lord. How many of you know something happens when it's spoken, right? Now what if a father says, well, I'm not going to speak it? How many of you know something happens when the man speaks? Right? It's spoken. I want to say to you, speak it. Don't just have it in your head. Amen? You start to speak it. Good resolution for the year. Amen? I will speak of my faithfulness to the Lord. No matter who comes with me, I'm going. I will serve Him and Him alone. I will be a man like Joshua. I will be a people like the Magi who came paying the cost, knowing it was difficult, but still doing it because they were seeking their Savior. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. These Magi were wonderful. Now, I do want to let you know, I think the Magi, number three, I think they were seeking for Jesus, but how many of you know sometimes you're going to experience a Herod? They had to get through Herod, right? Notice what happens there. When verse 3, it says, when Herod the king hears about this, tell me what's going on with him, as it will for you when you speak it. Guess what? There will be people who are disturbed by it. How many know Herod is very disturbed by this? Amen? Herod does not like what these guys are saying. He knows they're magi. He knows that they have come to establish a king. He does not like it. And boy, what a good liar he was. Amen? What a liar he was. I looked up the word for here for disturb, because the Bible says when he hears this, he's disturbed. The Greek word for disturb is tarasso, and it actually means when Herod hears it, he's troubled, he's disturbed, he's filled with anxiety, and he's shaken up. Wow. Listen, why was he shaken up? I think he was shaken up when he heard there's another king. Why? He was the king. He was the king. And when he hears, no, you're the king. You're in control of this kingdom. And then the Magi come and say, no, we're looking for another king. How many of you know he was upset? Oh, was he upset. Why? Who was on the throne for him? Himself. He was on the throne. He was on the throne of his own life. And now the Lord is coming in. He does not want the Lord to be enthroned. Especially the title, what? What was the title? Where is this? King of the Jews. What was Herod called? King of the... No, that was his title. He was given that by the Roman government. He was called. When he went before the Senate, they said to him, this is your territory. Herod, you are the king of the Jews. And imagine when those magi came and said, we're looking for the king of the Jews. How many know he's going to be a little upset? A little aggravated. And guess what? How many know it terrified the people? Guess what it did? Read what happens when he tells them. Who else got disturbed? Who else got disturbed? All the people got disturbed. Have you ever been around a person like that? Where if they're disturbed, you know they will disturb everybody. You got any of those people in your life? Oh, they're there. Amen? Why? Because they're not happy. And if they're not happy, they're going to be sure what? You're not happy. Amen? Oh, and he was a vicious man. They knew he was vicious. How many of you know he killed his wife? Do you know he killed his wife? Do you know he killed two of his own children? Did you know that? He was that powerful where if you disagreed with them, he was like, it's over for you. and you don't think I have power, I will kill you. And he could actually do it. And so what happens to all the people? Now they're all shaken up. They're all worried. Amen? You know, and he Herod really, historically, the Roman Senate put him there in 40 B.C. And he was given this position. He was given this title. He did some things, though. How many know Herod was a great builder? Herod was a great builder. While he was there as the king, he built an amphitheater. He built a theater in Jerusalem. He actually started to build one of the greatest buildings in the world. He started to bring Herod's temple. Herod's temple. He was building Herod's temple. He was a builder. He was a politician. He knew how to get position. He knew how to get control. No wonder he was so threatened by Jesus Christ. Amen? But he was also a man full of anxiety, full of jealousy. He wanted to control everybody. Amen? He was, in my mind, I believe, he was a discourager. What do people like Herod do to you? They're what? They're discouragers. They actually don't want you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to deal with them. Amen? The best way to deal with them is what? I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm going to do what Christ tells me to do. Whatever you say, I'm not doing. I am following the Lord Jesus Christ. I am denying myself. I'm going to pick up my cross. I'm going to follow him. You can have threats against me. You can try to discourage me. But I'm not going there. Amen? How many have people like that in your life? They're around. And their goal is what? To get you off course. You all know who they are? You need to identify them. Because you're going to, if you're part of the Magi and you're committed to the Lord and you're taking your ground and you said, I'm standing, you're going to have to deal with the Herods in your life. Because they're there for everybody. Amen? You don't fall prey to them. You stick to what you say you're going to do. You hang on. When they try to discourage you, you don't let them. Amen? I was thinking about Caitlin. She's home over the weekend, so I was thinking about her today. And I was thinking about, you know, how when she left here to go to Moody Bible, you know, she would say to me, because she loved dance so much, she used to say to me, Dad, I really love to dance. She said, but you know, at Moody Bible, they don't dance. So, Dad, I can't dance. So I'm going to go to Moody and I'm going to give up my vision for dance. So I said, okay, honey, that's fine. That's what you want to do. And she did. And then while she was there, the Lord put it back into her. I want you to start dance here at Moody. Even though they haven't had dance in the school for 125 years, you are going to bring dance. And so she stood her ground. And she followed me after the first year. She just stayed in prayer and she just was like, God, what do you want me to do? I don't want to be controlling. I don't want to oversee anybody. God, if this is you, you're going to have to make a way. Amen. And that's what she did. But during that time, she would call during her second or third year, and she would say, Dad, there are people I know. And they would say to me, you can't dance at Moody. You shouldn't go to the president of the school and tell him you want to dance. He's going to say no to you. Right? What? Those are Herods. Right? What are they trying to do? Get you off track. But how many know when God's put something in you, you need to stand on what God puts in you. Amen? How many of you have gotten off track because you knew God put something in you, a vision, a dream to do, you had the Herods in your life, and you changed your vision because of the Herods in your life? How many, come on, I know some of you have done it. I know some of you have done it. Part of you have done it because you haven't taken a stand. Part of you need to take that stand verbally, amen? Because what the Lord wants to do in you, you need to let him do, amen? Let him open up a door. You know, she's a senior now, and Rosemary went not long ago, and guess what Caitlin's doing? Dancing. I want to say to you, the Herods in your life are out to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. Amen? Do you understand that? Amen. And their key role is mostly by discouraging you. They want to discourage you, so you don't do it. Amen? But I really want to say to you, be really clear on this. They discourage the call. Now, how many of you know Herod sounds good? How many of you know Herod sounded good here? Oh, bring, tell me where he is. I too want to worship him. He didn't want to worship, Jesus. Amen. Why? He was saying the truth, but he didn't want the truth in his life. You understand that? He said the truth, but he didn't want the truth. He was filled with what? Deception. I want to say to you, they sound good, but their intentions, and get this down for sure, is what? They're self-motivated. Amen? They are what? Self. They're not God-motivated. They are self-motivated. Amen? And they are not, get this down, they are not led by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? They are being led by their flesh. And their flesh is out to discourage you from doing what God wants you to do. Amen? But you take a stand. You be a Joshua. I love these guys. These guys are awesome. They were great. Now, the fourth thing I love about these guys is I believe that they knew the purpose of why the Magi came. Why did they come? They came to what? What was their purpose? Worship. Worship. How do we know that? When they came to the King Herod, what did they say? We've been following this star, and we've what? We've only come for one reason. Tell me what it is. They're clear on this, right? What is it? We have come to worship. Amen? I really want to encourage you. The Greek word here for worship is proskuneo. Think about it. They're there on this political journey, and yet they're spiritually seeking. Amen? But they go and they say they want, it's kind of interesting. They want to what? They want to worship. The Greek word here for worship is proskuneo. And it actually means what they want to do is they want to bow down and kiss the feet of their Messiah. So what are they trying to do? What's their purpose in getting there? What's their goal? To come and worship the Lord. To kiss his feet. Is that awesome? Wow. Why? Because worship is only fit for God. Do you understand that? Worship is only fit for who? It's only fit for God. Proskuneo is only fit for who? God. How many know proskuneo is not fit for angels? You cannot proskuneo an angel. You understand that, right? You do not proskuneo an angel. Open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. I was thinking about this when actually John himself proskuneoed an angel. In the book of Revelation in chapter 19, it's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. In Revelation 19, the angel comes to John, and obviously it's the end of the book of Revelation, and the angel says to John, think about this, blessed. Blessed are those invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. How many know that's an awesome message? Who's blessed? Blessed are those who are what? Invited. To the what? The wedding feast of the Lamb. How many know if you've been invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb, you are what? You are blessed. And then the angel looks at him and says, what? I've just told you this truth. Tell me what the Bible says. I've told you this truth. Debbie, what's he say next? No, before that. I've told you this truth. John says what? Read verse 19. I mean, read that verse. What verse is it? Verse 9. He says what? After you are blessed, he says what? These are the true words of God. Now the angel is talking to John. Hey, John, you're blessed if you've been invited to this feast. And what I'm telling you is the absolute truth. You are blessed if you get this. Now how many of you know John is probably totally blown away by this? So tell me what John does when he's blown away by this truth. I've been invited to the feast, to the lambs, to the marriage of the feast. I've been invited. I am so blessed. And what does he do? He falls down before the angel and he does what? He proskuneos the angel. He's worshiping the angel. He's kissing the feet of the angel. And tell me what the angel does. Fast, too. Fast. Tell me what the angel does to John. Fast. John, get up. For what you are doing, you should not do to me. I am not God. I am not the Son of God. I am an angel. I do not deserve to be worshipped. Don't. And then he says what? My Bible says, don't ever, ever do this again. Why? Why couldn't he do that to an angel? Because worship only belonged to who? It only belonged to God. Worship could not go towards people. Worship could not go towards angels. The only one who could be worshiped is who? It's God himself. And so when these magi are coming, their purpose is what? To worship. Is that awesome? Wow. I love that about these guys. How about you? Would you say that about your life? How many of you say, the purpose of my life is to worship God? Take a deep look inside, because it may not be for some of you. Look really inside your heart. And the way I would ask you is this. Tell me how much you worship during the day. How much worship is in your life during the day? Because that reveals where your heart is. If you're not worshiping, your heart's not in worship. It cannot be. Amen? And let me say this. When that worship came, what kind of worship was that? Here they were. When those magi came, right? Okay? When they were there and they were kissing the feet of Jesus, where did that come from? It came from inside of them. Mm-hmm. Amen? They're at the feet of Jesus. They know he's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. The one who's going to forgive my sins. The one who brings light into the world. The one who gives me joy. The one who gives me purpose. The one who gives me life. I'm standing before him. Now what? Boom. Right down. Kissing his feet. I wonder if there was any music. Any music? Any music? No music. Why? You don't need music. How many know you don't need music to worship? You think you do? Let's get the praise team here. We'll all start worshiping and we'll follow them. If that's your truth, then you're not a worshiper. Because worship does not depend on music. Not at all. It doesn't depend on a worship team. It doesn't depend on instruments. It depends on what? What's in a person's heart. When those magi got there, they went down. Amen? Why? They proskuneo. They're kissing the feet of Jesus. Look inside your own heart. Is that there for you? Do you have spontaneous worship in your day? Is that your purpose for living? I'm here to worship God. That's what it's all about. That's why I live. My whole purpose. But don't say it just to say it. Because Christians like to say the right things. You know that? They like to say the right things. But guess what? It doesn't match up with their life. That is the times we're living in. They will say, yeah, I'm a worshiper. I worship in spirit and truth. And you're so far from worship. You're not a worshiper. You like to say you are, but you're really not one. Get real. Amen? Be honest. How many of you had a hard time worshiping today? Came in, oh, I don't really want to lift my hands. I don't want to sing. I don't want to praise. I struggle with it. Then you're not a worshiper. You're not a worshiper. If you can't do it with music and song, how could you ever do it when you just get down and say, I just want to honor you, Lord. I want to glorify your name. I know who you are. You're awesome. Look what you've done for me, God. It would come out of you automatically. Amen? You cannot stop a worshiper. Amen? You will never stop a worshiper. Because a worshiper has a purpose in living. And it is to what? Glorify God. No matter what. No matter what day. What season. Whether it's dark or light. It don't matter to a worshiper. They worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
And that is what we should be. And I really want to encourage you. You know, how many of you put on a mask? How many know Christians are good at putting on a mask? You come, put on a mask. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. Did you read the word today? Well, no. Did you worship today? Well, no. But I'm doing great. You're not doing great. You're actually far from God. I would rather have you be honest about it. Okay? Because when you're honest about it, now you can come to God honestly. If Christ were here today, what would you do? If Christ were here today, what would you do? Would you honor him? Would you fall on your knees? Would you praise him? Would you honor him? Well, let me just say, Christ is here today. It's not about when you get to heaven. That's too late. Why? You've got life. You've got it now. Then worship the Lord now. For me and my house, we will worship the Lord now. Amen? Now. Today. You don't wait. Something's not right. Something is really not right. Amen? Don't just say the words. How many of you know what a mask? You put on a mask. Just say the words. I just want to say I'm a Christian. I want to say I'm a follower, worshiper. But you're not. Get real. Look at your life. Get real. I'm telling you, what did I tell you in the beginning? The world is getting harder, getting further and further away from God. Amen? And then Christians are getting more lukewarm. It's a disaster. Where are you in that? Are you following that as an example? Or you say, no. I'm following Christ. I've said it. I've spoken. I'm denying myself. I'm picking up my cross. And I'm following Jesus Christ as my God. I'll follow him to the day I die. I'm good. That is the life of a believer. Amen? It's what the Magi did when they came. Ask the Lord. Just go, Lord, what? I know it's kind of hard. And I know it's hard for some people. Just ask the Lord, Lord, what's the condition of my heart? What is the condition of your heart? Just ask the Lord, what is the condition of my heart? And don't be afraid to look at it. Amen? Look at it. If your heart's all messed up, I'm going to tell you, you still have hope, right? You can come to God and ask him to clean you up, right? But what if you keep playing with God? I'm not really getting serious with God. I'm just going to play Christian. I'm going to say the right things when I need to say it, and I'm all good. But you're not. Listen, you're a disaster. Amen? Be honest with the Lord. How many of you are okay with, like, when you get down? See, when you get down, now you know where to go. Amen? I can say, well, I'm not really where I should be, but I know where I could be, so I go there. Where is it? The feet of Jesus Christ. You just go. Lord, help me. How would you come before the throne of grace? How many of you would say, oh, I'd be worried? How many of you would say, I'm not sure what I would do? Or how many of you say, I would come boldly before the throne of grace? Because I know who my God is, and he loves me unconditionally, and I'm going to worship him. Amen. That should be your position. That should be. And that should be sound in you. That should be like, this is who I am in Jesus Christ. Amen? Wow. It's awesome, isn't it? In closing this morning, I want us to... How many of you heard of Keith Green? Y'all know Keith Green? You know Keith Green. Y'all know Keith Green? You know Keith Green? When did Keith Green die? In the early 70s? He was a great songwriter. But his songs were all from the heart. This morning in closing, I want you to listen to this song by Keith Green. The name of the song is My Eyes Are Dry.
My faith is old, my heart is high, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me.
Was that great? I love that. How many of you, that's the condition you're in right now? Like you would say, yeah, Pastor, my eyes are dry, my faith feels old, my heart's hard, and my prayers are old. Listen, but you know what? You know what you ought to be, correct? You know what you ought to be. You ought to be what? Alive to God and what? Dead to yourself. You know what you should be, correct? You are to be what? Alive to God and dead to yourself. You know that. If you're here today, I want to open up the altars. Could you come and play? And I want to open up the altars today. And the worst thing you can do when you see your own spiritual condition is nothing. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing. The best thing you can do when you see your own spiritual condition is come to the Lord and ask the Lord to fill you. Ask the Lord to give you grace. Ask the Lord to help you. Without that, yes, your eyes are dry, your faith is old, and your heart is just getting harder and harder and harder. Come to the Lord. Amen? You know, I was thinking about this Christmas and how crazy this season is. Amen? And I was thinking about how it can drain us. You all know how this season can drain you? Well, I have an answer for you. You also have a way to be revived too. Amen? And the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to Him and you say, "Revive me, Lord. I'm stressed out. I got stuff out of me. I'm feeling this worry and this shame and this pain and all these things. Lord, help me." You take a stand and you come boldly before the throne of grace and you ask God for help. You ask God for help. If you're here today and you're in that position, I want you to come. Take a stand before the Lord and don't worry about your neighbor. When people worry about what other people think, you can never be the man of God that God wants you to be. You're so worried about everybody else, you can never be the man that God wants you to be. You can't be the woman God wants you to be if you're worried about it. It's impossible. They're idols to you. You come, you take a stand before God, and you ask God to fill you.